just to run down just some quick figures before we turn this back over to you for review. Here we've got attachment A, a price proposal, and talking about they've broken it down into the number of inmate meals, 80 to 89, for example, $2,159. And that price goes down as the number of inmates goes up. For example, 150 to 159 inmates, that $2,159 comes down to $1,499. And I suppose that that's based on a, is that a, what, quantify that cost for me? Is that for what period of time would that be? What did you ask for in the bids?
Well, in the in these bids, what they do is it depend, just like it says, it depends on the number of inmates. The more inmates that we have that they feed, the cheaper they get it, you know, that they give it to us. And what we want to look at on these bids and what I'm concerned with is just to look at the overall thing, because this could turn into a mess easily if somebody tried to just cut the bid low just to get it and then come in. Because like Airmark has a manager there, and they also provide us a cook around the clock. So if one of the bids, if they come in and say, we're just gonna do it 5 days a week, and we'll have somebody there to cook on weekends, then it may not be the lowest bid, because then we're gonna have to hire a cook for the weekends. And one good thing about these food services that help us be so efficient with the money on it is that they've got this stuff, like Airmark has it, everything measured, planned out. I mean, there's just like almost zero waste to their stuff. And if we had to hire a cook part-time because one didn't bid it in, then our waste goes up significantly, and it just costs us more money.
Tim, like so, the $2,100, that one of those quotes was, is that to feed 89 inmates?
I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure what. Do you know what they're doing for the $2,100?
Okay, $2,100 comes from the amount of meals we're billed once a month. They take the total amount of meals for that, average it by a daily head count, and then that's where they come up with the figure on the sliding scale.
But is that a weekly or a monthly figure? I would think that's a weekly figure, or is that a monthly figure?
$2,100 is a weekly figure. They bill us once a month.
Okay.
But they do the average count based on the amount of meals and then divide it by the head count.
Okay.
Do you remember what the old bid is?
No, sir. I've got it in my office, but I don't remember off the top of my head. Sir? They drew up a scale to stay within our current budget at that time to include the cost that we were paying a cook with benefits, the food and cook with benefits, and they were staying within that budget when you figure both of those items in. And the only thing was I had a cook for 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. Airmark, staying within that budget, put a manager and three additional cooks in, so there was a cook there 7 days a week every meal to help supervise those inmates in the kitchen. They were not in there by themselves, getting into trouble.
And you've provided them with very detailed bid specs, it appears to me, because I saw that. Here they've given a breakdown as well. Looks like theirs is on a cost per meal basis, which is difficult to compare right now. I've got less than 80, cost per meal is $2.6899 per meal. Up to 100, say 159, that cost would come down to $1.2054. So obviously you'll have to.
Well, I can tell you right now, less than 80 with the current price that we're paying is under $2. Okay. In fact, it's not even $1.90.
Okay. Well, and at 100 people, it'd be $1.45. So obviously it goes way high there when you're less, that's less than 80. So let me clarify, 80 to 89 at $1.63. So I gave you probably a misleading figure there. So 80 people, $1.63, up to 160 people, $1.20. That sounds a little bit better. But that's our second bid from ABL Management out of Baton Rouge. And I think probably the smart thing would be for us to turn this over to the sheriff and let you study this stuff. You know what you're looking at a lot better than we do, and then bring us back your conclusion.
We'll have it to you this next week. We'll look at it before the next meeting and give you plenty of time.
Okay. Tim, what's our average count on?
Well, right now, I think we average anywhere from probably what, Brad, 95 to 120. And like, you know, we signed the contract with Sulphur Springs. I was thinking it'd probably be early to late spring before we started getting prisoners from them, and we're already starting to receive prisoners from them. So, I mean, that count could go up depending
on. What's our capacity?
182.
I have a motion from Commissioner Fields that we table this decision on awarding a bid. And a second from Commissioner Hockaday. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that's unanimous. All right, I'm going to box these up for you and give you, again, you've got an original and two copies from each company. All right, Steve, you ready? Item number 8, presentation by Steve Austin and the Historic Commissioner.
Yes, sir, thank you. It would have been easy enough to just contact the judge and say, I don't need to be on the program today. Matters have been taken care of. But as a matter of fact, I think it's necessary that we come before you to give you a progress update. We feel that the Historical Commission is a vital part of the community. We've done some things recently to take part in it, and we feel a responsibility to report that to the public and also make them aware of the efforts of the county government and their involvement in what goes on a daily basis. Early in the year, I received a request from a citizenry of the county who had concerns about condition or activity on a cemetery in the northeast portion of the county, Evergreen Cemetery, and asked if there wasn't something that as a entity, the Historical Commission couldn't do and possibly investigate and maybe protecting the cemetery against any damage or destruction that may be involved in some fence realignments and brush clearing. I contacted the commission members through our treasurer secretary, who sent out the memo to all the members, and had a research committee actually go and attend, visit the site, take pictures of what was going on, and found that indeed some boundary fences around the cemetery had been taken down and were gone. The county road fence had been taken down, and there was some concerns about exactly what was going to take place, what was going to happen to the cemetery. If you'll go to TitusHistory.com, local website by Robert Mary Turner, it'll show you the condition of the cemetery prior to this activity. That's a valuable resource, TitusHistory.com, and Mary is a member of our commission and has authorized us to use its information in pursuit of activities of the Historical Commission. I downloaded the information contained there about Evergreen Cemetery and forwarded that to the landowner who was doing the work in and around the cemetery. And a cover letter with a request that he would consider the historical and heritage factor involved with the cemetery, and if at all possible, please restore the boundary lines and make public access to the cemetery, not destroy the graves and headstones therein. I made up a packet of information, also including the criminal code, offenses and sections and articles covered it by the cemetery activity, and who the responsible parties were to enforce these regulations. It's not a county, it's not a state regulatory or enforcement activity. It deals with local people doing things that take care of local situations. Specifically itemizes the citizenry, historical commission, historical society, the commissioner's court, county judge, and the sheriff are highlighted as the ones who enforce and maintain the integrity of the cemeteries in their jurisdiction. I prepared a packet with both the TitusHistory.com, the penal code, the cover letter to the landowner, Mr. Estrella, and also a letter that I anticipated to be necessary to put before the court today, a request of the commission and the county judge to request the sheriff to enforce the penal code as stipulated. I made a separate copy of that packet of information and gave it to the county attorney and visited with him on his vision of what needs to take place. The county attorney said, well, let me call the sheriff and see what we can do. He did. I delivered a package of the same information to the county sheriff, who in turn spoke to the individual, and there have been some drastic changes. I don't know if it's a result of the letter requesting they consider it the heritage of the county and or the visitation by the sheriff, but I can tell you now that things have come a long ways. The boundary fences are back up, the county road fence is up, and we have assurances from the landowner through the sheriff that there will be an access gate provided. The property has been cleared, and without crossing the fence at this point in time, I can't say that nothing's been disturbed or damaged, but it looks good from the road. The single monument headstone bearing the name of Mose Price is still in the configuration it was, which was, it had already been broken and stacked up, but it's still in its location. There are a number of headstones with initials marked in them, and a number of natural stones. There are some unmarked graves. I can't testify to whether or not we've had any graves lost over time, but it wouldn't have been because of this effort by Estrella Ranch. They have cleaned up the site from its undergrowth. It looks good compared to what it did. And I want to commend not only the Estrella group, but the commissioners in speaking with them during the course of this activity, and become aware of how much effort they involve themselves in maintaining cemeteries in the county who don't have their own caretaking system, such as a cemetery board or a cemetery committee to oversee that activity. We became involved with a program during the fall dealing with the Chamber of Commerce and Main Street, and we had a portion of that activity dealing with Twilight Tours. And we highlighted the Masonic Cemetery and some historical events and personages of Titus County. And to our surprise, it was attended regularly every Friday night by 25 to 35 people on a regular basis. And that was far beyond what we had originally anticipated. And in that, we highlighted the need to secure and maintain our cemeteries. We pointed to the amount of vandalism that has already occurred in the Masonic Cemetery. We have a number of headstones pushed over, a few broken. But those would fall under the primary jurisdiction of the city to help maintain those. Again, I'd like to brag on our county commissioners for the effort that they've shown in maintaining the cemeteries in our county, the judge for his enthusiasm and interest in endeavoring to pursue this project. In the packet that I gave you, I was prepared to request to bring the full strength of the county to bear on resolving this issue. But I think in working together and cooperatively, making members of the community aware, the dealings that were going on has come together. It looks like we're going to have a successful and a happy conclusion to this situation. And I certainly didn't want to let this opportunity pass without saying thank you to the judge, the commissioners, the county sheriff, and the civilians and citizens involved to help make this come to reality. One of our commission members, Mr. Michael Thompson, is in attendance. He was one of our first members to go out there and actually see the site, attempt to communicate with those there, and that may have been one of our shortcomings, a language barrier, but we overcame that, and it looks like I'm going to be able to report a successful conclusion to this. And we've reclaimed the cemetery. The black community is supportive of it, and we think we're on a positive road. Thank you for your time.
It's my understanding that the landowner actually didn't even live here in town. Wasn't that right?
That's correct.
He just had help them here maintaining the property.
Right, right. He has a large consortium, and he's actually home-based out of Florida, if that's correct.
Yes, Steve, in fact, we won't be anyone to drive out to the cemetery if Tuesday. Money is left to me. If you want, I'll be able to pull out. Mr. Estrada, he listed for it. He owns.
Estrada, is that it?
Estrada.
Yeah, he owns like big ranch here in Tassau County.
Where is this?
I've been dealing with morals issues. He's always been more good about people supposed to have a little bit of grief. So, he said that there shouldn't be a code there for the cemetery. They're having to take pictures and say, "Hey, we'll do this."
Right. I was out there Wednesday. The opening's not there yet, but based on what we talked about earlier, I have no doubt that it will be there. Right. The cemetery is at the intersection of Farm Road, Farm to Market, 71 and
39, 25, 71.
It was a wooded area. Matter of fact, if you weren't looking for it and know precisely where it was, you wouldn't have known prior to this. So now I think it's going to be an opportunity for the local community to help maintain that cemetery and keep that heritage alive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Sheriff, for assisting him with that. All right. Item number 9, consider and possibly approve an additional member for RFQ Selection Committee. At our last commissioners meeting, we came up with 4 individuals that will serve on the committee that will select the construction manager for the Loop project. And I think that some discussion was whether or not 4 was the appropriate number to be on that committee or not. And some of the commissioners had expressed some interest in considering a 5th individual to serve on that committee. Right now, that committee consists of Commissioner Boggs, Commissioner Fields, Daryl Grubbs, who is now with the Water Board, and also the 4th one is Mike Ahrens, our city manager.
Judge Lee, I asked for this to be on the agenda, but I'd like for Thomas Hockaday, who had brought the concern to me initially, to address the 5th member.
Okay.
Yeah, I had talked to Don about this. I had some concern with 4 people being on just 4 members on there. And I talked to each one of y'all. Y'all all agreed. And I asked that, and I talked to the mayor, Mayor Jerry Goldberg. And he'd been in every meeting that we'd had with TxDOT and with paid transportation from the very get-go. He was a big part of all that. And Austin, we went to Austin. I couldn't tell you the time we went to Austin. But I would feel real comfortable with Jerry being on there, and he agreed to be on there if we would do it in court. And I make the motion that we add Jerry Boatner's name to the 4 board members.
Okay. Commissioner Hockaday has made a motion that Mayor Jerry Boatner be the 5th member of this committee.
I'll second that.
Commissioner Boggs has seconded that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And it is unanimous. All right. Thank you very much. And we have completed item number 10 previously, so let's move on to item number 11. Consider and possibly approve travel and seminars for Titus County employees and elected officials. I've given you a real rough summary sheet there on an Excel file that kind of spells out for you the items that are being requested. As you can see there, we've got East Texas Association of Health Underwriters is having a one-day conference in Tyler. We have a request from Cheryl Preddy and Amber Newman and a treasurer in our auditor's department to attend that. That's just a one-day deal. Be an 85-mile trip, no overnight stay involved. Then we have from the Sheriff's Department, we've got a like 3 requests for Woody Hughes to attend a Violence Against Women conference in Austin. That'd be a 3-day or two-and-a-half-day event, I believe, so that would involve his travel down there. As I recall, though, that, let me see what that actually involves dollars-wise. I think it's fairly inexpensive. I put $250, and I believe that was, that's about all that's going to be required on that one, isn't it? And I just kind of guessed on that, including some gasoline money in there. You're going to provide him with a trip. We've got to pay for, seems like maybe was it the cost of the actual event itself he was paying for, or what did it, what was the total cost there? Well, you've got just really all it is per diem for his meals and some parking and then some gas money. You're going to provide him with a vehicle. And then basic corrections course, I was a little unclear on this one. It spanned a time period of February 24th to March 11th down in Kilgore. Is that something he'll just travel down there to on a regular basis?
Okay.
Course registration fee of $120 and a testing fee of $20, and I'm assuming in addition to that, what will we have there? Some travel money, gasoline going down there. Okay. Any meals? Also from the sheriff, we've got Lieutenant Shepherd attending a bid management leadership, gasoline only, down to Huntsville. That's a six nights. And that's being paid for predominantly, not at our expense, isn't that right? Heck of a deal. Then finally, we've got the Net Data User Conference, which I would like to attend at some point. That's a great opportunity that NetData puts on. I think it's like a 2.5, maybe 3-day event there in Dallas, and we've got at least three at this time that are committed to attending that. We've got Christy Davis in our auditor's department, along with Amber Newman and Treasurer Cheryl Preddy, attending that event in Dallas. That'll be a one-night stay, or is that a two-night stay? One-night stay. I'm going to go to some part of it. I don't know how much of it I'll go to, but I'll plan on going to some part of it. There may eventually be some members of our new technology committee that will want to go to some or part of that event as well. NetData has been encouraging us to send as many folks to that event as we possibly can, because that's their opportunity to tell us about what the different things our software will do that we may or may not be utilizing. All right, I believe that's it.
And you also might serve as kind of a chaperone for those three.
They'll need one.
They'll need one.
Well, I did find
that one.
I did find it.
Would you please pass it along to Christy, Amber?
Let's see. I noticed that Christy was not asking for any hotel. I guess she's going to sleep in her car or something.
We're very frugal in the auditor's office. We don't spend very much money.
What'd you say, Carl?
So we're very frugal in the auditor's office.
Thank
get one
goodness.
Bed, they can both sleep in it.
We appreciate that.
I make a motion we approve those.
All right. Commissioner Fields has made a motion that we approve these trips. Who was that? Second by Commissioner Hockaday. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. All right. Item number 12, approve oral and written reports of county officials.
And I would just remind y'all that next meeting, be sure you have Lanny on the agenda.
To discuss the audit, which
has
been completed.
The audit report with you.
Okay.
And I think everybody's...
They
put a copy of the audit report in all y'all's boxes, didn't it?
Lanny Walker will present the results of that audit then at the next meeting.
Carl,
yes,
let me ask you, reflecting on my cash balance, is the cost of the truck? Is that, I'm assuming
I'd have to look on interested in seeing the details, Don. You're talking about what you, where you paid for it?
Yes, the dump truck.
Show the whole length of that there.
Let's see.
You didn't pay for it, did you?
No, I'm paying for the whole thing.
You didn't make another?
No.
Did you make a loan for part of it? I can't.
No.
You just paid for all of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it shows, okay.
Yeah, spill pot motors and precinct one, $59,201.
That came from fund balance.
I'm gonna get mine in 2 weeks.
Well, I, this one was yours, and I went ahead and took it, because I liked the way this one looked better than the one that they're supposed to bring.
Hey, I waited longer than anybody, so.
I'll be ordering the same time. They was all ordering the same day.
Well, they sure dropped the ball down there.
Mine's been a year.
Yours been a year, hasn't it?
Be a good one, I give you.
Yeah, when will that be?
I'll let you drive mine if you like.
I think they said next Friday, they supposed to.
I think that's what I saw.
Yeah.
All right, do we need a motion on that?
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Commissioner Henry. Second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And it is unanimous. All right, consider and possibly approve the treasurer's report. Cheryl, is there anything you want to point out to us on here in particular?
No, just that.
Okay.
I would notice here that the district attorney's drug forfeiture fund has grown from $474,000 to $513,000.
Good thing, isn't it?
Make a motion that we approve the treasurer's report.
All right, motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Fields, that we approve the treasurer's report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And it is unanimous. All right, budget amendments.
No, sir, none today.
None today. Very good. All right. How about sign pay orders and approve payments?
Make a motion that we approve pay orders, assign pay orders and approve payments.
All right. Motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And it is unanimous. All right. Anybody have closing comments? Starting down here on my right, Commissioner Boggs.
My apologies for being late today.
Thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
Commissioner Fields?
The only thing I would say, I know all of you know this, but the former commissioner here said that Terrell lost his life. I'm asking you to remember to give your prayers and family and give you a good spirit of time. I know that you greatly appreciate it. I know he's going through some tough times.
Do you know a schedule for a visitation or a funeral yet?
Tonight at 6 o'clock.
Tonight?
Funeral's tomorrow, too.
Funeral.
Bates.
Bates Cooper Wayne. Bates Cooper.
Carolyn, do you order the lottery from the county now? So are you doing that?
We will take care of it if you'll just kind of give it.
I think Amber's already. But you can check and see. Check the mark. I think they've already. Ordered it anyway.
Visitation tonight. All right, Commissioner Hinton.
That's it.
Commissioner Hockaday, nothing. And I have nothing. All right. thank you all. I didn't expect that to go that long, but I appreciate the input of everybody, especially Dane. Thanks again for coming in and taking your time, and for Steve. All right, I believe that we're done. Motion to adjourn by Commissioner Hockfader, second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.